entered access code 648568.
An act, it says, Act 31, it says, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. It says restitution of all things. That's mankind. All things is mankind. The restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, which he closes by saying, as therefore the subject here referring to is that of which all the prophets from the beginning have spoken, and the grand subject of all their declarations was, here it is, Christ and his words among men. Therefore the words are to be applied to this and no other meaning. Jesus Christ comes to raise up man from the state of ruin and restore him to the image of God as he possessed it at the beginning. We understand that. That's what Christ came to do, to restore man back to the state that he was in the beginning. Okay? And it says this, we'll read the scripture in Genesis 3:15. It says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and hers. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So, this is talking about what? The seed. He was Christ. Right? He was Christ. So, he's talking about, right here in Genesis, he's talking to the serpent. He was talking about Eve, the enmity between her seed and his seed and her seed. That's what he said. So we have to start understanding what Christ came to do. It's to restore man right back to the state that he was. No sin, no suffering, no tears. All the goodness. So that's what Christ came to do, to reconcile man back to God. That's one.
That's the original sin.
So
is that saying that we're already in?
Yes. Yes, but our bodies are not.
Bodies, but the spirit is.
Spirit is,
oh,
but our bodies.
Okay.
We're going to get into that. So understand, this is about what the prophets, all these scriptures that we're going to start reading, is what the prophets said about mankind, about what Christ was to do, to reconcile man right back to God to God, also in the state of man right back. Okay. So, it says, David also said, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. It says all right here. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before him. That's in Psalms 22:27. And it says, all the ends of the world shall remember. Now remember, understand that word, remember. Now, to remember something, you had to be told something, right?
Mm-hmm. Known it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have known it before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, now remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. This agrees precisely with the promise of God, Abraham, that all the nations, families, kindred of the earth shall be blessed by God. Keeps his promise. Now, these scriptures are going to back up all the promises that God made says, David also said, all kings shall fall down before him. Him is Christ. All nations shall serve him. And shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. That all nations, says, yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. He keeps saying all here, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's going to say, and all. So, this is of the same import with section 38. It says, so David also said, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee. Let me read that again. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee. So who made the nations? O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Now Psalms, this is in Psalms 86:9. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, they shall glorify thy name. That this must certainly include all the nations of the earth. I made them all from Adam to the latest born. But David also said, not less than 26 times in that part of his meditations embraced in the 136th Psalm. His mercy endures forever. What kind of mercy is the mercy of God, which is to endure forever? It is a universal mercy. See? So, this is his mercy endures forever. Just look at that point. His mercy endures forever. God anger, you know. In this misery, be ordained as such a God. Something to think about. He also said, the Lord is merciful and gracious. I already read that, right?
Right.
Oh, no, it's another one.
No,
45. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger from. 103. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous. He will not always. Said that I not about to keep his anger forever. He never does. This could not possibly be true. God's purpose to make any of his creatures forever miserable, if we also that torment shall be endless, allow a torment shall be endless, can we say that God would not always chide?
Can we look up the word chide?
Yes, I will.
Hold on.
He will scold you over a week or keep his anger forever. For someone to preach the love of God, I'll let that. Isaiah represented that there was no sin which might not. Gospel. this feast of salvation by Jesus Christ, born on the place. This salvation is prepared for all people. It is sufficient to supply the wants of all. It's salvation. Now, God will destroy this mountain, the face of the covering. Watch this. This is very important. God will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering that's over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. And Isaiah 25:7 says, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. This salvation is not useless. Prepared. Unbelief shall be done away. The darkness of the nations shall be removed. The covering cast over all nations shall be destroyed. They then will see the truth.
Amen.
Wow.
That is all. They will all see the truth.
They all will see the truth. They all will. God's going to take that darkness away.
And we see that coming to pass now.
Yes.
Yes. They're all going to see. And they're all going to know. Remember, he said they will remember.
Yes.
They will remember.
Yes.
Because
yes.
They knew it before.
Wow.
They shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kingdoms of the nation shall worship thee for thee. My goodness. Now we're hearing all these scriptures about saving mankind. Saving mankind. All that God has prophesied through the prophets, all the words that he said that he was going to do, all the things that he said that Jesus was going to do. And there's still people thinking that ain't going to be damned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but here it says it doesn't matter what they're preaching, because he said
exactly.
In the end, he's going to destroy
right.
All of that and everybody.
It says all of it. Yes.
Because he said there's nothing that man can do that. Yes. That's
exactly.
That tells you right
nothing.
There.
Nothing. So what he's saying is, take no thought for your life. Why is that? Because sin is there. He's going to take care of everything, and everything will be okay. Everything will be good. Just allow me to do it and
God
believe and trust me.
Yeah.
He said, I've already spoken it. And it shall come to pass.
So, what is this, though? It says, God will destroy in this mountain the faith. Of the covering, the face of the covering cast over all Israel. Okay.
Yeah, the face of the covering. And they will then all see the truth.
So the face of the covering, he said, is unbelief.
Yes. It's going to take the unbelief away. It could be flesh, it could be unbelief, it could be your carnality, it could be the teachings that was planted in your mind, in your heart. It could be a lot of things that opposite of the truth.
Well, and
he's
going to
take the lie away. Should I say that?
It explains it in 49.
Yes.
Yes, that's what
I'm saying.
The darkness of the nations shall be removed.
Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken. The Lord spoke it, right? So we just read about chimes, right? Remember that?
Yes.
Chimes is rebuke.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And he said he would do this. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It is. Now watch this. This is to take place at the resurrection of the dead. But Paul quotes these words and applies them to the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15. So when this corruption, corruptible, shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So Paul understood what was said, and he quoted it. But he said that what was going to take place. So he's explaining the scripture. And he's explaining the time when it happens, when it will come to pass. The corruptible shall put on incorruption, and the mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass saying that is written, death, followed up in what?
Victory.
Death and hell was cast into the what? Lake of fire. going to be changed as they're living. They're going to be changed like that. Paul even said that. Those who are alive and remain, right?
That's right, right.
They will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. So, I hope I got to die. People me, when I start looking at people in a negative way, that means that I don't have any trust in the working in the Spirit of God.
Don't trust in God at all.
That means because we just read that there's no sin that you can do that God.
Can I be?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. Also, it says that there's nothing in his purse.
Yes. Yes.
So while he's working on whoever he's working, then he's showing mercy towards whatever they're doing.
We are there already. We on 50. We're on 50. It's 52. On 53.
Father, what did you say?
What is
it? How much? The human body contains anywhere from 5 to 78% of water, depending on.
Okay. Let's go on because it's here. Yeah, we gonna cover.
Okay. It. All right. Go on.
We on 52, right? Okay. Isaiah said, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." Isaiah 40:5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Mm-hmm. This is the declaration of Yahweh. For the prophet adds, the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. If the Lord hath declared that all flesh shall see his glory together, surely it must be done.
Yeah, it's going to be done
because he's spoken it.
That's right. Now, Isaiah says in 53, Isaiah represents the gospel as being completely successful in accomplishing the purpose for which it was sent into the world. That as the rain and snow come down from heaven and return not thither, but water the earth and call it to bring forth in bud, so shall the word of God be. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish the
divine
and purpose of the thing for which God has sent it.
Yeah.
Now, when you see rain, and then when spring comes around, and you start seeing stuff come up and bud, you can say, man, that's me.
I'm growing.
I'm producing fruit because his word is like the rain and the snow.
Oh,
my goodness. When you see the cherry blossom, it had to get rain first, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
That's me. Oh.
Yeah.
That's me.
He said, God sent the gospel to benefit all mankind.
All
man. All went through him. Okay. This is it. Ooh, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It says, woe unto him that saith unto his father, what big it is. Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my son, and concerning the work of my hand. A man he. Now, I love what he says concerning my son.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. Thus all who allow that God sent the gospel to benefit all mankind, us here speak, that beneficent object will surely be accomplished. If any reject the gospel and are lost forever, can it be said in truth that God's word does not return unto him void? He said it's going to accomplish what I said it ought to accomplish.
So he said no one is going to reject the gospel.
That's right.
Exactly. Nobody. This is Isaiah speaking in the saying of Yahweh said of Christ, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation until the end of the earth. Look at that. Isaiah was prophesying that the Gentiles was going to be his salvation and preach. Oh my goodness. Oh man. Oh my goodness. There it is. Okay. Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of earth. Isaiah 49:6 says, and he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. In this verse, the prophet affirms that the blessing of the gospel should not be confined to the Jews, that I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. For what purpose? Here's the answer. That thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. This expression is intended to signify the greatest possible extension of the blessings of the gospel. This is consistent with the subject fact that countless millions of the human race shall never hear of the blessings of the gospel.
So we understand this declares
that it is consistent that they will hear the gospel, the blessings of the gospel.
Yeah.
Now, in Isaiah 55, it says, Isaiah represented Yahweh as saying, I will not contend forever. Now, watch. I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. This is difficult. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit shall fail before me, and the souls which I have made. He made them.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he made the soul.
Mm-hmm.
I said he made the soul. And this declaration, consistent with the doctrine of endless misery, according to that doctrine, will not God contend forever? Will he not be always wrong? He said he won't be wrong forever.
Yeah.
Didn't he say that?
Yes, he did.
He won't be wrong forever. But then, if you send people to hell, that means he's still wrong. Yahweh says by Jeremiah under the covenant he made with the house of Israel, I will put my law in them. But this shall be covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward part. With that. And write it in their heart, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Here it is. For they shall all know me, from the least of them and to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
But what are they doing with that scripture? In the text, people are just don't understand it because they're misinterpreting it.
But the whole thing, we know not the sin.
Everybody will remember.
They will know the truth.
They will know the truth.
The spirit of the passage. Yeah, the spirit of the passage is universal. What God here said, he will do for the Jews. Okay, could somebody start reading the spirit of this passage?
Okay,
don't worry.
The spirit of the passage is universal. What God said, he will also do for the The Lord will not cast off forever, but though he causes death, he will have compassion where he does not afflict willingly or grieve. For the Lord does not cast off, but though he calls, yet will he have pardon. For he does not grieve children of
God. Yes.
Oh, what a precious declaration. Though God calls, yet he pardon to does not afflict or grieve the children. This is the principle of divine government. God does not afflict for the person afflicted, but for the good sufferer. How then, endless torment will be inflicted?
How then,
endless torment.
There it is. There's a lot of scripture. Trying to tell him that can't do anything because I know who you are. I know what I created you to be. I know what I put in of you. You forgot who you were. When we say we can't do nothing, I can't do that. You're forgetting who you are. I can't learn that who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Got to remember.
When you say we can do all things.
With God, all things are possible. If with God, all things are possible, and my spirit is one with God's spirit, that means I can do all things. Okay, now, where we at? I'm lost. Page what?
17.
Okay.
Number 58.
Okay, number 60. Okay. Can you keep reading?
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 58. Okay, Daniel said the reign of Christ.
Oh, yeah, this is beautiful.
Daniel said of the reign of Christ, there was given him dominion and glory that all nations and lands serve him. Is an everlasting and his kingdom, that which shall not be. Daniel 7. There was given him glory and a all people, nations, and earth, dominion is an everlasting and his kingdom. All people, nations, and lands, will they be endlessly miserable? Will they not be endlessly happy? This passage applied undoubtedly to all. Seems to have referred to the declaration of the prophet and what he spoken. All is given unto.
Go ahead.
Hosea said, I will ransom them from the power of the them, O death. I will decide. O grave, or hell, Sheol. I will be thy destruction. Death 13. I will ransom them. I will be thy plague, O grave. I will be thy destruction. Sentence hid by. Let the light of St. Paul applies. Head. Verse 54. The wind is corruptible, so has put on incorruption, and this mortal put on then shall be that is written. Death followed. O death, my name. O grave, where is
there it is. So Paul is saying, guess what? There's no grave, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, death, where's this thing? Oh, grave.
Mm-hmm.
Where is thy victory? Or hell. You can say hell. Death or hell. Where you at?
Mm-hmm. Resurrection of the dead. God will destroy Sheol. He's going to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
Does God raise us from the dead in order to punish them forever? And Sheol. For Sheol shall then and Achan dead of Yahweh. Not his anger forever, because he delighted in mercy. Micah 7:8. To God like an and passeth by the transgression. Aims not forever. A most precious
because he delights in mercy.
Yes,
not torment.
Life.
Not angry forever.
So that means that they're not going to be tormented ever, because it just said that he's not angry forever. Because he delights in mercy.
Yes.
And then it says a most precious assurance.
Yes.
All together.
Well, we got people, you're going to hell.
So what they're saying, that this doctrine about endless is endless misery is false.
Yes,
it's
it
false.
Is.
It's not
no,
true.
It's
now,
false.
Now this is.
I want now watch this. I want you guys to. I'm telling you. I read that the other day.
Yeah, I read that.
It was the other day. I was going to print it out because I wanted to even have a study on him. And so you have to start understanding that a lot of this stuff is symbolism. And Jesus was referring to something. So, like Bob was saying, so they can understand.
Yes.
Yeah, so Baal is the great. Baal is the great.
Yeah.
And a part of Greek mythology, you look at it, and it is about a place that a devil is in, and where
and
people go to get
and
caught.
And the horns and everything.
Horns and everything.
Yeah, everything. That's part of Greek mythology. And they try to integrate it with the Bible. And that's why, you know, when I was reading the Word of God and then I was studying, someone kept talking to me about what the Greek did something to the Bible. The Greek did something.
Yeah.
When they broke words down or they put this in there, that was a part of their interpretation, and which was a part of their Greek mythology that they integrated in the Bible. And so it's words in here like mystery. That's what mystery should even be.
Yeah,
mystery
only shows up in the New Testament.
It
doesn't show up in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It doesn't show up in the
Old Testament. Yeah. And the word mystery should not even be in there. They put that word that's a missing translation. And so, like hell, they shouldn't have put that in there. But they should have just kept